This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a fantastic start to your morning.
Because when you start your morning off with us, you started your Saturday off right.
That's right. And I hope that, as always, you learn something new, that you were able to encourage someone, and you were able to share something that you learned with someone. Now, one of the things that I learned this week is that if you have a subscription, like one of those subscriptions where they give you one of those promotions, make sure that you follow up with it, because they will go back and backtrack and charge you all kind of fees after that promotion goes away. I had a company this week. I had an internet site and I never even used the site. And then all of a sudden I was charged triple the amount. So I'm fighting that now. So that's something that I learned this week that I know I can take and really implement in my toolbox.
Sounds great. I'm so glad. Because when those bills come and you remember that subscription, that's when you remember it. So it makes it really hard sometimes.
Right. So this week, what we're going to do for our Black History Fact of the Day, we're going to lift up hip hop, the hip hop culture, because I know that hip hop, all of us listening, all of us with kids or grandkids, we've all been influenced by the hip hop culture. So I want to highlight that this week. So please listen as we move forward.
In August 1973, a young Jamaican-born New Yorker known as DJ Cool Herc threw a party in the South Bronx. With a pair of turntables, he improvised a technique that isolated and repeated musical breaks and repeated musical breaks. That technique would lay the foundation for a genre known as hip-hop. Hip-hop music emerged from house parties in the Bronx and spread like wildfire between friends and neighbors at block parties. The new sound was electrifying.
In the schoolyard during recess, someone would have a boombox, and then someone would start rhyming. You didn't have recorded versions of hip-hop at that time.
Within a few years, it had become an underground cultural movement, and its distribution was homemade.
You couldn't purchase albums or records, and you couldn't hear hip-hop on the radio. The only way that you could participate in the culture musically was through these cassette tapes, which would circulate all throughout the city.
As its influence deepened and broadened, the music spread from the underground onto the radio. In 1979, a group from suburban New Jersey released Rapper's Delight, one of the first hip-hop records.
Bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie to the beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet.
And the Sugar Hill Gang's hit was just the beginning. As hip-hop evolved, it became a passion shared by millions of young Americans who use it to articulate their identity and their politics, creating a vibrant, multicultural community across the country.
Our generation of young people, we had to find new ways to communicate, you know, just getting on the records and speaking about the truth.
Its lyrics reflected the social and economic conditions of the inner cities as seen through the eyes of the people who lived there.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
I think it was Chuck D who said, you know, it's the CNN of the black community. It's actually reporting on all of these things that we've experienced in poetry form and musical form.
In 2017, hip-hop surpassed rock as America's number one stream genre for the first time ever. Decades after its birth, hip-hop has grown from its underground origins in the Bronx to become one of the most popular genres of music throughout the world.
Hip-hop has become a powerful global force, the whole culture, influencing music, fashion, language, art, and social movement across all continents. From streetwear trends to dance styles and lyrical storytelling, its impact can be seen all across the world. More than entertainment, hip-hop has evolved into a cultural bridge that connects people, challenges social norms, and amplifies marginalized voices on a global scale. And I know for me personally, I remember as a young kid listening to Planet Rock, listening to Afrika Bambaataa and all of these guys, Curtis Blow, Run DMC. I mean, the early pioneers of hip hop. And I remember I was just blown away. I remember one time I won a Run DMC album, Kegel Rock album, on the radio station. That was probably my most prized possession for several years. I remember going to concerts to see LL Cool J and Public Enemy as a young teenager. I remember these things, but they weren't talking about division. They were talking about unity. I think about X-Clan. I think about Queen Latifah. I mean, I think about all of these entertainers that set the groundwork for all of these young brothers and sisters that we listen to today. So join with me this morning as we give it up for something that we started, African Americans, and that's hip hop, the hip hop culture.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
All right. What's up? What's up? It's Feed the Busy Bee, and it is time for the tea. And we have a lot to talk about today. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super, super excited about these Christmas holidays, you know, coming up. You know, everyone's probably got their tree up by now. I know we usually have our tree up by Thanksgiving, but I am a lover of Christmas, so my tree stays up year round. So I don't have to worry about all that stuff. It's so many great things that are going on right now. So many great documentaries is going on. I know you guys have heard about The Reckoning with P. Diddy, his series. And we know that 50 Cent is doing that. So I hope you guys have got a chance to look at that. We talked about that a little bit last week. Also, too, Kamora Lee Simmons is back on her Life and More Fabulousness on her show, The Fab Lane. And I don't know if you guys remember The Fabulous Life, but it was really, really good when it was airing. But she's calling it now Back in the Fab Lane. And it says Kamora Lee Simmons is back on her life and more fabulous than ever as she juggles being a single mom of six kids and running her business empire. I'm like, where did six kids
come
from?
I didn't know she had that many. I thought she just had the two.
Well, she has four kids. She has the two girls, and she has two boys. She had one boy by the actor, and then she had another boy by the millionaire who's a lot younger. He's probably about 10. And then she has two boys. One boy she adopted from Jamaica.
Whoa.
And then another young boy who's just a friend of the family that's always there.
Uh-huh.
And so she's kind of pulled him into the family. So she kind of...
Wow. I didn't know she had that many. I thought she just had four.
She's just extraordinary with that. Because that's a lot with six kids and running her business empire.
Mm-hmm.
And while her life is extraordinary, her problems are totally relatable. Kimora's older daughter, Ming, is still living in with her mother, even as she's finding her footage as a model herself.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Kimora's younger daughter, Oki, has taken off to Bali to find herself, and no one is sure when she'll be back. Mm. Kimora is also struggling with letting her boys grow up. Teenagers, Kenzo, Gary, Jaden, are pushing their boundaries, asking for earrings and tattoos. So we went through that stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Then she talks about the young one, which is named Woofy, which is...
That's his name, Woofy?
That's his name.
Oh, wow.
And he's turning 10, like I said.
Woofy.
And she has accepted that he isn't a baby anymore.
Mm.
So she's going through the transition of life, or still keeping her empire, still keeping her business going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also, too, going through these different changes with these kids and learning sometime how to be more compromising in a parenting situation.
Definitely can relate to that.
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of seen the first two episodes. It's really cool. I'm just a Kimora Lee fan, you know, so I'm going to watch her either way. So that was just so great to hear about them coming back and the things that they're doing. Okay,
right.
Let's get to Curtis Jenkins. A Texas bus driver, Curtis Jenkins, surprised over 50 children on his route with Christmas gifts, including bicycles, headphones, and school supplies, after asking each what they hope for. You know, that's really cool. And the bus driver's just on there, and he's talking to these kids, you know, and he's asking them what they want, and then he brings it.
Wow.
So his kindness is amazing. It says his generosity aims to inspire students and eventually launch his own youth mentor program.
Wow.
So that's really good. So let's give it up for Curtis Jenkins. I mean, he's just been doing it. That's just very admirable right there. Also, too, back in the news is President Barack Obama brought an unexpected dose of holiday cheer to Chicago's South Side this week with a surprise visit that turned an ordinary afternoon into a memorable one those students won't soon forget. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, according to a pool report, Obama arrived wearing a red Santa hat, instantly lighting up the room. Covering of the visit was limited to... you know, just a little bit of reporters and, you know, cause they didn't want to make it a big, like, show or whatever, but he just wanted to go and encourage the kids and give them gifts and everything. And, I think that's just so encouraging.
That is
so around
encouraging.
This time of year, we see how much people just really want to give.
That's right.
And I want to encourage people to understand. I know one of my friends, Kathy, she did a lesson on gifts. And she was talking about just the gift that we have from God and remembering the season that's about Jesus. But I also want to encourage people to remember to be a giver, not have your hand out ready to receive, but be ready to give.
Wow.
It's so great when you can think about, you know, different people and, you know, who can I give a Christmas card to? Who can I buy a gift for? Things of that nature. I think it really helps us in this season to really give because we think about all the things that God gave with Jesus and his life. And so that is what the season is all about.
That's right.
So, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm signing out with the tea.
All right, Feed the Busy Bee. Thank you. That's some good tea right there. I can imagine how some of those kids felt when President Obama walked into their classroom.
With a Santa hat
with
on.
Santa hat
hey,
on.
Look, with his dapping walk.
Oh, yes. Okay. Cool, brother. So that's awesome, man. When you have a platform, it's all about giving back to the community
that's
and helping one another out. So I love that. Well, for all of you college fans, especially football. Now, I'm not into basketball right now. It's all about the NCAA playoffs. Well, the bracket came out. A lot of folks were upset that Alabama, with three losses, were in that bracket and Notre Dame was kicked out. So there's a lot of controversy about that. I know it's all about them dollars, though, guys.
It's all about.
They say that Alabama, Texas, and a few other teams, Ohio State, those are the highest viewing markets. So if those are the highest viewing markets, guess who you want in the playoffs every single year?
You want those people there because you want those people coming to see
exactly.
You want those seats
and you
up.
Want those seats filled up, but also outside of the seats, you want those advertisements because that's
exactly.
Where the big dollars
that's where
are.
The big dollars come from.
Right. So the NCAA playoffs are here. So let me give you the run. Down, okay. Oregon will play James Madison today. Now, to me, I don't know how James Madison got in there, but again, that's That's I'm not on a committee, but they won their division. So that's a whole nother conversation. But Oregon's going to play James Madison. Alabama's going to be playing Oklahoma today. That's going to be a big game because Oklahoma beat Alabama earlier, but Alabama's picked to win that game. Also, Tulane will play Ole Miss. Mm. Now, Ole Miss has got it going on.
Yeah.
But Tulane, they're there. So what you gonna do? Miami's going to be playing Texas A&M. That's going to be a big
one
right there.
Game.
Now, the byes this week are Indiana, Ohio State, Texas Tech, and you got to know, it's them
Bulldogs! Go, dogs!
So, we will be waiting to see who we will play next week. So, I'm all about them dogs, baby.
I know. I cannot wait to the parade. You remember how we was like back to back.
Right.
So now we're going to be back to back.
Hey, I hear you. So political corner, guys. First of all, in this, I don't have a lot, but the grand jury refused to indict Letitia James for the third time. So they just need to stop all of this foolishness.
Exactly.
All right. The federal grand jury in Virginia has again refused to indict New York Attorney General Letitia James, dealing a major blow to the high profile mortgage fraud case. So I'm so thankful that, you know, they just keep trying. Though that is the crazy thing, they just keep on trying. And also something that happened that was huge this week, the Indiana redistricting lost. They lost trying to redistrict Indiana, you know, because and guess what? Republicans voted against it. Say, if Indiana Republican senators had any doubt about what to do with President Donald Trump's redistricting proposal, he helped them make up their minds the night before this week's vote. In a social media screed, Trump accused the state's top senator of being a bad guy or a quiet, stupid one. Now, that's what he called a guy. He says, this kind of language doesn't help, said Senator Travis Holderman, a banker and a lawyer near Fort Wayne who voted against the plan. He was among 21 Republican senators who dealt Trump one of the most significant political defeats of his second term by rejecting the redistricting in Indiana. So the old Republicans said, no, this is not going down like this. Now, that's amazing right there. So that was a huge blow to the Trump administration. So I really want to lift up these Republicans up there who just stood their ground. They said, hey, we're not going to try to do anything shady to get these votes. If we win, we're going to win, but we're not going to try to redistrict so we can have a better chance of winning.
Let's
let's have some integrity. You have that type of position, so let's have some type of integrity about the position. So that was just pretty cool right there. So that's pretty much it for the political corner. I know we're talking about the HCA. Now that's big. That's on the docket. But I heard today that some Republicans and the Democrats are trying to get together to extend these premium tax credits so people can have insurance. Now, this is major
right
here.
This is so major.
This is major right here.
Because we're looking at it too, like, because our insurance went up like $800.
It went up $800, and that's before the premium tax credit. So if we get the tax credits, $800. So we gotta shop around and find something a little, you know, good.
Y'all better be out there praying, honey. You know you need that insurance.
Exactly. And it's not just for people in that mid range area, let's say the $70,000 to $200,000. That's what they call mid range. But the crazy thing about it is that if you make less than that, they're pushing you towards Medicare if you make under a certain amount. So
Medicare or Medicaid?
Yeah, Medicaid. I'm sorry, Medicaid.
Wow.
Right. So there's a lot of different things going on. So people, please make sure that you in tune. Make sure that you vote as well. Don't just say, hey, it won't happen. It's trying to happen. But I'm glad there's a lot of pushback, not only from Democrats, but also Republicans as well. So I'm excited about that. Now, today we have an interesting show. We're going to be talking about a couple trending conversations that just make you say, So I'm looking forward to that conversation today. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
For the night before Christmas. The creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind, as I sit around by the fireplace, watching the gleaming tree. If I had one wish in this world,
it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397, or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Trees decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white, so bright. In the
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great time just hanging out and listening to Christmas songs. Now, the first song was an old-time classic, an all-time classic, and that is The Temptations' Silent Night. And to me, that's probably one of the most, I guess, iconic Christmas songs out there, because as soon as you hear it, you actually know who it is, and then you know what time of the year it is. You know that it's Christmas time. And people try to do it, but they just can't touch that song right there.
Can't touch it.
And then the second one was Run DMC, Christmas in Hollins, Queens. Now, I played that because that was one of the first rap Christmas songs that I ever heard. I know Curtis Blow had one as well. I don't know if his came before or after, but this is the one that I hung on to. I mean, Christmas in Hollins, Queens. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this is amazing. It's a rap song and they're talking about Christmas. And a lot of kids here today, they might think it's a little corny, but back then, that was you were playing that in March and May and in the middle of the summer because it was so hot. Now, today we're going to be talking about a couple topics if we have time, but we're going to be talking about trending conversations that make you say, So, today we're going to be tackling two trending topics in a black community, okay? And one topic is marriage overrated? And also the other topic is, do black businesses take advantage of black patrons? So what do you all think about that?
I don't know the contents as far as what you're saying as far as, why people say that. But, hey, like you said, it's just stuff that people talk about.
Right. And just a reminder, this is not a bashing session by no means, but it's a growth conversation.
Yeah, because it's just a reminder that, it's facts, accountability, and love. And let's just get into it.
Okay, let's just get into it. So right now, let's say if marriage disappeared tomorrow, Fee the Busy Bee, do you think society would be better or worse?
Honestly, worse, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. Not because marriage is perfect, but because commitment, structure, and accountability matters. I already feel the comments coming. Some folks are saying marriage ain't working no more. Not is not working. It ain't working no more.
Right. It ain't working. Okay.
That's what they're saying out there.
So when people say that marriage is overrated, they're often reacting to, I guess, bad marriages, not the institution itself. That's what I'm thinking. And social media doesn't help because everybody's posting highlights, nobody posting counseling sessions, but sometimes people just think that marriage is not it. So I want you all to listen to this clip that I'm about to play. And this is Phaedra Parks. I mean, she's a celebrity, and she was on The Real Housewives. She's a lawyer, and she's giving her view about marriage and it being overrated. So check this out and listen to these words that she's saying.
Now that you're back on Real Housewives of Atlanta, do you want to get married again?
Oh, absolutely not.
Will you? No?
No. Why would I do that?
So as somebody who's never been married, is marriage overrated?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Well, this is what I'll say about marriage. It worked for our parents because women didn't have the same roles. And unfortunately, women have been allowed to have the CEO jobs, be top executives, but a lot of men have not reimagined their roles in the house. So if I'm making seven figures, I can't obviously always come home and be the traditional wife, cook dinner, clean. Yeah, and I mean, so I think back in the day it worked for women because women weren't always allowed to buy properties. Women weren't allowed to have the best jobs. Women weren't allowed to have the best education. And now since they have allowed women to move in realms that we never imagined, the things that we require of a man, they've changed. What I think is, this goes into politics and race relations. I think the United States has intentionally elevated black women to here to emasculate the black man. And when he gets into a relationship with a woman who's here and he's there, he doesn't feel needed. He doesn't feel wanted. And that causes the friction. And that basically tears down the black family. Mm. Or better yet, when you get the man, the athlete, the person that's here, you have made women that don't look like us their idol versus women who they obviously were that bore them, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's the miseducation of black people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Parks' perspective on why marriage is overrated. Now, she has a couple different things that she talks about in that little audio clip.
Some good points.
She talks about how sometimes the role of women has changed over the years.
Right.
From the traditionalist where men worked and the women stayed at home and they watched the kids and folded up clothes or whatever. But she said now women are CEOs. They're making the money. And a lot of men can't handle that pressure like that because the roles are flipped.
I don't think she was saying, quote unquote, the pressure, but just the transitioning in the thought process. I think sometimes, you know, they see what's going on and they're trying, you know, you got men staying at home, taking care of their kids, they're doing it.
Right.
But because mentally they still don't grasp it, uh-huh. their heart doesn't get it. And so it's easy for them to be, I think, swayed into saying, man, what's wrong with you? That's crazy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, okay, this is what's working for my family right now.
Right.
We work together. And so this is what we're doing.
Well, I
you know,
think
it's such a big, you know, I don't want to say that they're insecure, but it's just a big thing for a guy.
It is.
I mean, you can speak more on that as far as the mindset. That's why I said I don't want to say they're being insecure, you know, because of that. I just think it's something deeper than that.
Well, I think it's something deeper. I wouldn't say insecure either, but I think that at the end of the day, you got to do what's going to be best for your household.
Yeah, because you have to work at it as a team.
As a team. So, but I think if sometimes with men, if that's your only connection of being the head of the family, and now you feel like that the woman is taking that place, I could see how you could feel that type of way.
Yeah, because I think some people think if they're not making the money, then they can't set the rules.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just like Phaedra saying, she's making the money and they don't understand. Well, you don't understand the basic rule, because if you're making the money, that man still is the leader of that household.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, too, let's say if a woman is balling, sometimes she might feel like she should be the leader of the household. And that's not
and
right.
See, that's
either.
The problem. That's right. What I'm talking about.
And I think sometimes in these relationships, when it comes to money, sometimes the men are, how should I say this? If the woman is making more, they can already be insecure about it, but then a woman can make them feel less than a man, because all throughout history, men have been, quote, providers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even growing up, I saw my father as a provider. And I remember one time my mother had gotten a really good job. And my father, I mean, rest his soul. I mean, you know, he talked about this and he said how he wasn't right, but he stopped working. He had so much seniority on his job where he could work one day a month and no one could touch him. So when my mother got that good position, he told my mom, if you want this job, well, you be the head. And he stopped working. He would go to work one day a month for
that
about 5 or 6
spiteful.
Months. That was being spiteful and foolish. You know what I mean? It didn't make any sense. I know I hate it every time I came home. As soon as I walked in the house, go fix me some lunch. Now, and it's not like he was cleaning the house or nothing like that. He was just chilling. But that was his mindset. But I think that's that traditional role. So I think a lot of men have a lot of problems with that. Mm-hmm. And I understand if the woman is making them feel that way.
Right.
Because like we shared it before on our show that there's been times in our relationship where I made more, made less. I remember when I first started teaching, I was a sub and the real estate industry was booming and Felicia was selling houses, selling in subdivisions, bringing home checks for $5,000, and I'm bringing home my check $70 a day for subbing. And I remember that, but I didn't feel weird about it. I said, all this money going to the same checking account. I'm like, pop your collar, baby. Go out there and sell some more houses. But because we had that type of relationship.
Mm.
Now, Felicia was thinking that, oh man, I wear the pants, I'm making more money. She wear your money, what you bring to the table. I guarantee I would have been as insecure as a little mouse trying to fight a tiger. I'm serious about that. So that dynamic, I see how that can go awry.
Right. And let's understand, too, when we say head of the household, that's like the men, Lord knows, because I think, too, sometimes people are uneducated about the scriptures because it talks about respecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a whole nother thing we can talk about.
Yeah, whole nother show.
Yeah,
that's right. Because the head of the household doesn't mean you lord it over your wife, but you respect them. Matter of fact, yeah, that's a whole nother show right there. So let's just talk about why do a lot of people say that marriage is overrated, okay? So let's just dig into that quickly and just talk about a few things. Why are people saying marriage is overrated? So we talked about the, you know, the financial, well, not financial, but talking about the insecurity of certain people. But first of all, fewer people say marriage is essential. I mean, a lot of people, the mindset is changing. Surveys show that support for marriage as a cornerstone of society has declined. Only 45% of people in 2025 said that they think that marriage is necessary. All right, so that's down tremendously from the 70s and 80s when it was a cornerstone. So a lot of people are thinking, hey, I don't have to be married. I can be single and still be just as successful, still be just as happy without a spouse next to me.
Wow. So I know another thing that they bring up, too, is financial and economic barriers, too,
right,
as well. So a large share of adults say lack of financial readiness is a majority reason they're not married, especially young adults. And one Pew survey, about 41% of never married adults said not being financially stable was a major reason they were not married. Which I can understand that. Also, the research center said that lower income singles are more likely to cite a financial insecurity and even losing government benefits as barriers to marriage.
Wow. That's amazing, and I really believe that.
But that's deep. This young generation different. Why are you on food stamps and stuff? I mean, I'm sorry. Like, get a doggone job. Go somewhere and work. Make a job.
Yeah.
I can talk all day on that one.
Right. So
I'm trying to figure out why low-income singles. I mean, you have nothing holding you back from getting out there getting a doggone job and doing something.
Well, they just say financial insecurity. So they feel like if they don't make enough money to support a spouse, they don't want to get married. That's what they're talking about there.
I understand that.
Right.
But, I mean, I can't understand the part about how they think they're going to lose their government benefits. I mean, that's the part that lost me.
I mean, you think about a lot of these things. I mean, because again, it's systematic. So we can't remember that systematic. So a lot of, you know, let's say single mother. Let's say if she's young with a child.
I'm thinking about a single man.
Okay, but if she's a single mother with a child and she's getting government aid, but if she brings a man to their household, guess what happens?
Well, we know that's systematic.
Right. That's why I say systematic.
Right. At the legs with that one.
Right. So you're just saying single and why they don't.
Like I said, it's a whole nother.
Okay. And another reason why marriage is overrated, a lot of people are saying, because they hadn't found the right person. Among people who want to get married, the most common reason they aren't married now is simply not having found what they consider the right partner, cited by roughly 60% of never married adults. Say, I just hadn't found that right one. Now,
they got that list and they're not being able to check it off.
Right. So that's what I'm going to ask you about.
Sometime on that list is not even reachable.
Right.
Like you can't write a check your face can't cash.
Okay. Okay. So what is it? So let's say it's not about faith. Let's say if someone's a handsome man but he's working at a lot of these women, they want these guys who are making six figures. Let's say if you're a hard worker, let's say if you're an electrician or a plumber or even a school teacher, a lot of these women say you don't make enough money for my lifestyle. So what do you think about that?
I mean, it's all about the mindset of things and that connection in that relationship that you have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I can think of some things where it's like, man, that's crazy. You living with seven people and you da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking about if someone on the outside was looking at situations that we've had before.
Right.
Because of how we did things in the church. That would look crazy. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to have any stability. They're not going to do this or do that.
Right.
You know, how can she support herself and she's living with four people?
Right.
You know what I mean? Sharing a room. You know, that kind of thing. So I think it's all about the connection, the relationship, and what that person inspires to do.
So you mentioned earlier about that list. So a lot of women, a lot of men have all of these lists. You know, they talking about the right person. So do you think you should compromise your list? Let's say if you're 35 or 40 years old and you still got this list, you're meeting nice people, but you want everything checked off on that list, and now you're 55 years old and you're still single. And
or
you're like Vivica Fox in her almost 60, and I say, oh, I'm ready to get married now.
I think your list has to change a little.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think the older you get, the wiser you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so your list is going to you know, evolve. It's going to change.
Okay.
And I think you're going to be able to, whenever that space is, or whatever that checkoff is that you feel like is not really what you want, mm-hmm. you're going to know which one you're going to compromise on and tweak a little bit.
Okay. I like
because
that.
Because you've gotten wiser.
Yeah, exactly. You know
what I mean? A lot of things, too. Another thing they talk about is focus on career, education, and personal goals.
Mm.
You know, many adults, particularly the millennials and the Generation Z,
mm-hmm.
They delay or avoid marriage to focus on careers, education, and personal development. Mm. The Pew surveys report suggests that a high portion of younger adults prioritize career stability and self-growth before even considering marriage.
Mm. Wow. So what
they want to climb that ladder.
They want to climb that ladder and then get married.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that?
I don't think anything is wrong with whatever you want to do.
Right.
I just think you have to understand when you're ready to do certain things, then it has to be a time of really, like I said, you know, looking back at that list and changing that list up. You know, let's say you've gotten your top where you like, okay, this is where my career is. I like it. I'm loving what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get to a point where like, man, it's lonely up here. I need someone to share this with. You know, and then you start to change things. So money, somebody having a whole bunch of money may not be the biggest thing on your list
mm-hmm.
because you have money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might want to get with someone that's very educated. So when you're around your money friends, they can adapt to whatever because they're intelligent. You know what I mean? They know how to carry themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, so. That guy that may, you know, be doing another business, he may be an intern at a tech company. Well, shoot, tech is good right now. So if he is, he's going to climb the ladder and do great.
Right.
So that's a guy with potential. Okay. I think you can connect with someone that has potential.
Okay. Yes, but a lot of people saying they can't. So let's kind of move on. Let's talk about only one more so we can go to our next topic. Because I think the last one that I want to talk about is fear of divorce or negative experiences. I think this is the reason why a lot of people are just saying, hey, marriage is overrated. Because they might have grown up looking at their parents' divorce. They might have been in a relationship with someone where it was traumatic, and they're bringing that trauma into the relationship. And sometimes people are saying, I do not want to go down that road again. You know, I'll be good by myself, but you have these walls put up, but it kind of stops you from loving people.
Okay. You know? Something we didn't point out that I think you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Phaedra, who we had the clip on, remember mm-hmm. she was married before.
Right.
So we have to take in consideration, are these people saying these things because they've been married before?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Or
so that's a whole other way to look at it.
But they might not have even been married, but they might have just still had that traumatic.
But I think the reason why she's talking about this
because her past experience.
Her past experience.
Right.
So again, it's the experience. It's the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That they're talking about these different experiences. So
right.
This may not be everyone's experience.
Exactly.
And then we don't know from this test whether it was someone who had a serious relationship or someone who was married before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we have that in the Pew survey? Is it talking about someone that was married prior or?
No,
or
I think the, know, I think it's general? Going back and forth. I think this is general.
Okay.
So they probably even, you know, I mean, when they specifically say single, that means, or never married, that study came from just that core group. But then other studies might have came from a general population.
Gotcha.
All right. So let's go ahead and roll through this and just talk about a few really good stats on why marriage is good. And we can just, you know, hit this real quick and go through this. But as far as research is saying, married people live longer. And that's something multiple large studies show, that married adults have lower mortality rates than single, divorced, or even widowed adults. Research published in Harvard Health and other journals consistently finds that married people live several years longer on the average, largely due to social support, healthier behaviors, and earlier medical intervention.
Yeah, I think also, too, better physical health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
It shows married individuals have lower risks of heart disease, stroke, and serious illnesses. One long-term study found married men had a 40-50% low risk of cardiovascular death.
Mm.
That's huge.
I like that. And
compared
also,
to unmarried men, while married women also showed an improvement in health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the statistic didn't hit us. So stronger mental health and emotional stability, according to a national survey too as well.
Yeah.
Married adults report higher life satisfaction and lower rates of depression and loneliness
in
unmarried adults. Marriage provides emotional support that buffers stress and improves psychological well-being.
Wow. And then, too, financial stability. The U.S. Census and Federal Reserve data show that married couples typically have significantly higher household wealth than single adults. So that, I think that's a very important statistic right there. You know, and then stronger social support. So there's a lot of benefits of being married. All right. So I guess it all depends on your perspective and where you come from. But that's something that the streets are talking about. Marriage. I mean, is marriage overrated? And, you know, I love it. You know what I mean? But that's what some people think, that is overrated. So we're going to jump into this last conversation, guys, and we really won't have time to go deep, deep, deep. But I want to throw it out there so you can really think about it. And we'll comment on it. But it's by Frank Ski, and he talks about blacks hustling blacks. And this is something that some communities are talking about, and that's, you know, it's like a pink elephant, or the, what I said, a big elephant in the room sometimes. But I want you to hear what this young man is saying about blacks hustling blacks.
Why do black businesses hustle black people? I'm Frank Ski, and I'm just frankly speaking. I was watching Deontay Kyle on the Grits and Eggs podcast, and he started going off about black businesses and how they treat black people. I want you to watch what he says.
We lost a lot in 40 years. And we're trying to get it all back by hustling and doing LLCs and being CEOs. That ain't how you're going to get it back. Because what you're doing is you go back and you're trying to exploit your community, because a lot of y'all do business like crack dealers. You look at your community as custos, as clientele. No, these are people. And these people work hard for their money. I understand inflation. A haircut ain't $100. I don't give a f- how rich a client is. A haircut at 50 is pushing it. But I understand the economy. 50 is cool. But a haircut ain't no $100. Shouldn't cost $500 to get their hair done. And you talking about come with your hair washed. No, that's not how we do this. Stop hustling. Y'all got business mentality like crack dealers. You think if you open up a restaurant, you compete to treat the patrons like you're in the service industry. You think you had to be nice to people as a waitress? Think about how nice you got to be them now that you own it. You get in the service industry and then you don't want to do service. This doesn't make sense. We're hustling backwards. You can talk to crackheads crazy. They're fiending for it. Nobody wants that burger that bad. Nobody wants that salmon that bad. Them lamb chops ain't that damn good. They ain't got the nerve. No price. Market price. Nah. Gratuity already. Nah, you wouldn't have to add gratuity automatically if y'all knew how to do service.
Wow.
Well, all right, y'all. I know that was a whole lot to unpack right there.
Ooh, he was talking about it.
He was going there. And like I say, this is a question I think that a lot of blacks have felt over the years. I know for myself, sometimes when I go to black establishments, especially the ones, quote, celebrity owns, it's a whole experience that I have to pay just to go and eat. Most of the time, I have to pay $18 to $20 just to park, because sometimes they only have valet. And then the food, in my opinion, is overpriced. And then in a lot of times, it's not as good and the service is not where it needs to be. And this is just my experience with a few restaurants now. A lot of restaurants, black owned, hey, I love them. They support great service, great customer service. I'm just talking about the ones.
Yeah, this is not talking about all
of them. Right, we're talking about the ones who are, you know, kind of extreme when it comes to pricing. And then he talked about haircuts. Now, I agree to that one, because I know before COVID, I used to get my haircut for $25 with a tip. I mean, that $20 tip. And now my cheapest haircut that I get is about $40. And I don't go that often, but I have to save up just to go get my haircut sometimes. And some people charging $100 if you want it washed. So do you think that this is extreme? Do you think that sometimes as a community, we overcharge instead of just saying, let me focus on the volume so I can, man, really get the patrons to come out and support? And even one restaurant, I went there. Because this is a black-owned business. I just wanted to try the vegan burgers. And my wife, Feed a Busy Bee, and I went there. We spent almost $75 for two hamburgers. And I was like, it was good now, but man, that was a lot of money just for some hamburgers.
When was it?
When we went to, I don't want to say the restaurant, but you know, the vegan restaurant. Outside, you know, we went in there because everything was expensive, like $17 for a burger. And then it was $10 for fries. And then we got a drink because you wanted to support it, like $7. And then you times that by two, it was about $60 we spent that day for two hamburgers.
I don't remember.
But anyway, what you think about that, Feed a Busy Bee?
I mean, I'm just sitting here like, wow. Like, did he not break it down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes we are trying to get all the money at one time.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to get this customer, and this customer is going to pay for my whole day of service today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's how you feel. It's like, man, why you robbing me? Like, everybody else in here, why are you trying to get everything from me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prices are extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's too much.
Mm-hmm. And I know we have barriers. I know, like he said, don't come to me about the market price. You know, of if you're trying to get some salmon, it shouldn't cost $40 or $50 for some salmon when they talk about market price. Salmon, you can, even in expensive, it's like maybe $7, $8 for a nice piece. And I know it's systematic barriers set up too, you know, for some people, because you might have a high interest rate on your loan or whatever.
Right,
but,
or we don't own the space.
Yeah.
So we have to rent, and the rent is expensive.
Right.
We want to be in a nice area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot. Talk this for as a boss thing, you know?
Right?
Like, you do have a lot of things you have to consider, and you do have a lot of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hire a GM.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot when you do a restaurant. You know what I mean? You got to make sure where you order your food from is a good mm-hmm. property as well. I think when first restaurants open up, they don't know where the good. What do you call them?
Vendors.
Vendors are.
So yeah.
That nature sometimes that can play a role in it. So they charge a whole lot. You know, so it's a lot of little factors in there,
right,
that they have.
But I just think it's the long game. I think people really have to think about that when you have a black-owned business, especially. I know Frank Ski, he said, man, blacks only make up 15% of the whole population anyway. That's what he said. Now you got to cater to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
So your market is slim from the jump street. But my thing is this, just think about those kind of things beforehand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good, like you said, if you gave good service, you wouldn't have to put in the gratuity.
Right.
Like, just give good service.
Right.
Have integrity with your businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure out a way where you can let people park and they don't have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's certain things.
Or discounts or something.
Yeah, certain things you can do.
Well, take that off the food price. If you know people have to park, you know, pay $18, maybe reduce the food, the entree by about $3 or $4. You know what I mean?
Right, or something like that. So, you know, just little things.
Little things. And it's the long game, guys, because I hate to say it. One of my barbers put a bad taste in my mouth right over Thanksgiving holiday. I wanted to get a cut. So he said it was a $15 upcharge fee for the whole week of Thanksgiving. So between
and I told Burrell, I was like, I told Doc,
Monday,
I was like, no, he's just talking
Monday,
about his new clients.
Monday through Friday for old clients, new clients, you had to pay $15 on top of the $40-something haircut that you got. And to me, guys, you know, we're business owners, but to me, that's just kind of out there to me for the whole week.
Well, so he's saying things. I could be off Thanksgiving. I got to come out of my house. So
no, this is not Thanksgiving day. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
okay.
Thursday, Friday. Well, he ain't cutting on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And he had to pay $15 upcharge. That's what I'm talking about. Why? And I'm a client. And see, again, that's the long game, guys. That's a whole nother show about business.
You. Yeah,
that's the long game. I mean, you might make that money right up front, but now you've lost a client.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't go that often, but I go maybe once a year, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. You know, but still, when I have a speaking event, you know, I got to go there. But what I'm saying, you've lost the client on the front end. If you would have just had different avenues on a, you know, when you sent that text to me. That's all I'm talking about.
Right.
And it's a black-owned business. I'm a supporter of black-owned businesses.
And I think you should talk to him about it.
Yeah, I will when I go back, because I'll probably go to him, you know, on my next, you know, before I go out of town.
Too, I don't, you know, I don't fight with people with their prices. Like, if I just don't like their price, then I just don't do it.
But you
I
don't go back.
I don't go back. But I think for him, I think I would just
have a conversation.
Well, just be like, hey, I got this text and I was confused. So is this for your new clients?
No, that was for me. That wasn't no. I knew it wasn't no because he went back and said, I want to let you know that it's a $15 up choice. He knew it was me. for that cut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I know Fee, she giving him the olive branch, but I'm just like,
yeah,
man,
I'm
that's just
to
not
give
good.
Benefit of the doubt, like, wow.
Whoa, well, Fee the Busy Bee, we talked about a couple topics that are kind of trending in our community, so it's been good. And again, guys, this is not a doom show, but this is just a spark conversation. Because how often have you talked about or known someone where they talked about how they thought marriage wasn't overrated or that they should even get married? And then how many times have you gone to an establishment in our own community where you felt like they overcharged you for an item? So These are just conversations that we're having that hopefully will spark greater conversation. Well, I'm going to end with the quote of the day. The quote of the day is by Nana Rahili. Okay, so it says, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. So I love that.
That's
right.
Awesome.
There. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And we are busy.
For listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.